Hey, it's Solveig Whittle, and you're listening to the Jazz Spotlight with Jan Ilunga.
Episode 76.
Welcome to the Jazz Spotlight, the podcast that gives you the insight and tools you need to be in the music industry today. Artists, authors, and top music industry experts give you actionable tips that will help you promote yourself the smart way. Here's your host, Jan Ilunga.
Hey Spotlighters, how's it going? It's your pal Jan Ilunga with the Jazz Spotlight Podcast, episode 76. I hope your week is going well, that you're ready for another fun episode. And today we talk about social media tips for musicians. So if you're a musician and you're using social media, or you aren't using social media yet but have been thinking about using social media, you're gonna love it. Today we are joined by Solveig Whittle. She's a musician as well as a writer, a blogger, a podcaster, a social media coach who really knows social media in and out and teaches musicians as well. So she's the perfect guest to be talking about social media. You find the show notes with the links to everything Solveig and I mentioned at thejazzspotlight.com/episode76. Here is social media tips for musicians with Solveig Whittle. Hey everybody, I hope you're having a great day. I'm having a great day and I'm super, super excited about today's episode. Today we talk about social media and we're going to talk about that kind of following a checklist in a way. We're going to get a checklist of things we can do as musicians and people in the music industry. And I'm super excited about who is joining us today. I've been following her online for quite some time. We have exchanged emails, tweets, and finally she's here. She's a musician, she's a marketing consultant, a social media educator, a blogger, and she's also the host of Walking the Dog podcast. It's with great pleasure that I welcome on the show Solveig Whittle. Hey Solveig, how's it going?
Hey Jan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Oh, it's lovely. It's beautiful here in Seattle today for a change.
That's great. And I'm sure that the Jazz Spotlight podcast is definitely going to help and the sun is going to be shining by the time we're done with this interview.
Of course.
And obviously, people who are in the music industry, people who are quite active on social media probably know you because you are a guest blogger for large music and technology websites. You blog at shadesofsolveig.com. You are on Twitter at shadesofsolveig, and you are a musician, and you've recently released the new album Fire and Other Playthings with your band Solveig and Steve. And that's actually the first question I have for you, Solveig. Can you tell us, all of us, myself included, more about Fire and Other Playthings?
Well, that is just a lovely question. Thank you for asking about my music. I love to talk about social media, and I don't often talk on podcasts about my music, so great question. So this year, this past year, in the fall of 2014, I released an album with Stevie called Fire and Other Playthings, and it was kind of a follow-on to a prior album we had done the year before, which I had submitted to the Grammys, and I thought, well, I'm going to try it again. So in some respects, I'm real interested in how the process works for musicians to market their music, and so in some respects, really, a lot of what I do is I'm very interested in my own music career, but I'm also interested in kind of looking at it as an experiment. So, I put together an EP, called Fire and Other Playthings, and I was experimenting a little bit with, how many songs to put on the EP, how to market it, how to market a lead single. So all of those things I kind of test marketed with my own music. And the songs themselves actually were from a collection of stuff that Stevie and I had worked on for the prior couple of years. So that's another part of the process with musicians for doing an album is, you know, not only deciding, you know, do I do an EP, like a 7-song EP or a 9-song EP, or do I do a 12-song CD? You know, there's this whole discussion about how to do that, or whether to do that, or do I just release singles? And, you know, how do I market those kinds of things? But also, what song to put first? You know, all those kinds of questions do still matter. You know, I was just recently reading an article by Bobby Alcinski about how CDs actually are still 27% of music sales, at least in the United States. And so the whole exercise of releasing a CD and how you market that and how you do it is something I've been real interested in trying to understand. But as far as the music goes, you know, it's a pop folk kind of feel on the album. Stevie's had years of experience in the music industry. He was in bands a long time ago, several bands, rock bands, you know, going around and touring and opening for bands like Boston and, you know, just having a really good time doing the whole musician thing. And now we write together. And we did a couple covers. We did a Rolling Stones cover on that album. And we also did a Jimi Hendrix cover, which I placed as the first lead single on the album, which is completely unrecognizable from the original, which is generally the way I like to do covers. And then the rest of our music, of course, in the similar kind of genre, like vein, you know, sort of pop rock kind of feel. And we released a video, which got a lot of attention because we burned a piano. So everybody was asking me, did you really burn a piano? Yeah, we really burned a piano. So that kind of developed into the theme of the album. I took a still from the video and put that on the cover of the album, and that was really well received. And the video itself, we shot, we actually got a small drone and filmed part of the video with the drone. So I enjoy doing a lot of different creative things in addition to blogging and tweeting. I really had a lot of fun creating the content, you know, creating the and marketing this album. It was so much fun for me. And it's really nice to not only be somebody who, you know, retweets other people's content, but actually, you know, I create my own content. I'm a creative person, and you know, we're all creative in different ways, but I love being able to actually be part of like a music video and, you know, creating the album cover art and creating the follow-up materials that you use to market your music. To me, that's just as interesting, almost just as interesting as creating the music itself. So I'm one of those people that I almost, you know, I say I suffer from attention deficit disorder, but I like to do, it's actually probably true. I don't think I've ever been diagnosed, but I really like to do a lot of different things. And I get so excited about the creative aspects of, you know, doing music and doing visual art. And I can't say I'm an expert in either of those things, but I really enjoy them. And I love working with other people who are good at what they do. So that's always really great. I had some fantastic session musicians on my album from around here in Seattle. And Gary Shelton and Jerry Batista, who's just an amazing guitar player. And in fact, you know, recently just started working with some other local Seattle musicians. So this next album I'm working on is going to be really cool too. We're started working with Jeffrey Castle, who plays electric violin. So I'm really excited about that because I am going to be releasing another album this year. So I'm kind of on the album a year schedule, which is like crazy to me.
No, I love it. And, you know, first of all, guys, the album is available on iTunes. You can find some of the videos, some reviews, because you also have some cool video reviews from some fans over at solveyandsteve.com, or simply go to the show notes of this episode. Then you find there the links to everything Solveig and I mentioned in this episode. And you talk about the fact that you really enjoy the creative processes of creating, making music, creating content for the kind of blogger aspect of your career. And you also have a podcast, Walking the Dog. Before we dive into today's content and we really talk about social media, can you tell the listeners a few things about Walking the Dog? Because I really like the concept of the podcast itself and the fact that you share some music business tips every episode.
Thank you. Yeah. So Walking the Dog was built out of one of my own principles, which is as a musician, or really anybody who has any kind of a business, you really want to focus on creating content that you enjoy creating. Mm. I mean, I can tell that you enjoy podcasting, you enjoy interviewing yeah. people. Well, that comes across. And I think that's important for two reasons. One is that, you know, nobody wants to see content or hear content where someone isn't enthusiastic about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And it makes it so much more, you know, interesting. And whatever's interesting is, you know, you have emotion, you have excitement, and that's going to be something that people can resonate with. And then that's going to be something they're going to want to share. So your content, you know, should be something that you enjoy, not just what it is, but also the process of creating it. Like, you obviously enjoy interviewing people. And if you're going to do something, you also need to do it consistently. That's really important with social media. And if you don't enjoy doing it, you're not going to do it consistently. So I thought a lot about doing a podcast because, as you know, doing a podcast is not a trivial thing. You know, it's not just interviewing and scheduling interviews and, you know, thinking up ahead of time. People don't realize how much work a podcast is, I think. Mm-hmm. It's not just, you don't just get on the phone with somebody and interview them. That's just like the tip of the iceberg. You know, you're researching that person ahead of time. You're finding out what they're all about. You're developing a list of questions. You know, you're contacting them, you're scheduling with them. And then, you know, you're editing the content after you create it. So you have to like doing it. It's work. And if you don't enjoy doing that work, you're not going to do it consistently. And if you don't do it consistently, you're not going to be able to develop an audience because people look for, you know, something that you're going to be doing every week, every month, whatever it is. And so I thought, well, what do I enjoy doing? What about podcasting? What could I do that would be easy to, you know, easy to produce and that I would enjoy doing? And I thought, well, you know, I walk my dog almost every day. And what if I decided to do a podcast while I was walking my dog and call it Walking the Dog? Because part of what happens when I walk my dog is, like many people, you know, when you exercise, you kind of get to thinking. You're not, you know, you're not on your computer, you're not on your phone. You're out in nature, which is, you know, very inspiring often to me. And I usually get to thinking about things that are on my mind. You know, what's going on that week? What's happening? What's of interest to me? So I decided to do this short podcast, about 20 minutes, every Friday when I'm walking my dog, and record it on my iPhone while I was walking my dog. And I thought, well, that'll be easy. I'll be able to basically record it and, with very little editing, be able to just post it. And it has been very successful. I've kind of, you know, picked a couple of different topics that were of interest to me that day. So it's not just one subject. It's kind of almost like a skim of the week or whatever I'm working on with my own music at that time. And go into some depth and provide some links, which I also put in, and a summary of the podcast as well, so that people can, you know what it is. And I like try to keep them short, you know, under half hour. So it's kind of a drive time. Hopefully one's drive time is less than half an hour. Not everybody's is, but you know, in I know that here, at least in the United States, commuting, whether you're driving or taking public transportation, is a great time for people to listen to the podcasts. So I had a lot of things kind of going through my head about the structure of this podcast, and how I could make it something I would enjoy and how I could make it something that was very immediate. So that was the idea. So I cover a lot of different subjects, everything from, you know, concerts in your home or house concerts to social media to current event topics, marketing subjects, a variety of different subjects that are relevant to me as a musician that I hope are relevant to other musicians, because they really kind of come from my own personal experience.
Mm-hmm. And I know that people can find the podcast on SoundCloud or as well as on your website, shadesofsalve.com. And you talk about the fact that you discuss things that are relevant to you and you think are also going to be relevant for all the musicians out there who tune in episode after episode. And obviously, the topic of this episode of the podcast is definitely relevant because you've written a post a few months ago. It was around the beginning of the year, I think,
yes.
a great post where you talked about social media checklists for musicians for this year. And you covered you touched on so many great points, and some of which we're going to discuss right now. Before we dive into that, I want to ask you about what do you think musicians should do before they start using social media? Because I think that one big mistake that musicians make when it comes to social media and promotion is simply to jump on a platform without really knowing much about it and kind of start using a platform just because other people are using it. So what do you think all the listeners who are listening to you and I should keep in mind and do before jumping on social media to promote themselves and their music?
Yeah, that's a great point, Jan. It's one of the things actually that I think is not exclusive to musicians.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
also a problem in many small businesses. And even I've done some technology consulting here in the Seattle area. I do business consulting as well as music consulting for musicians. And one of the hardest things I think for small businesses to do is, you know, usually they're very product driven. They've mm-hmm. got a founder. In the case of the musician, it's the musician. And most musicians and small business owners are really focused on their product. You know, they've got a great product. They think they have a fantastic product. They want to get that out into the marketplace, but they're focused around the product. And they're not always thinking about, you know, a couple of key things. One is, what are their business goals? You know, every business is going to be at a different place in kind of the, you know, the development of their business. Some are going to be very early in the development of their business. Some might have discovered some kind of product or created a product that people love so much that they're just trying to deal with demand. But most of us are in the stage of trying to figure out how to do demand generation, which is just basically a marketing term for how do I get my product out there and get it visible so that people are going to buy it. And within that primary goal, I think you have to really think as a musician about where you are with your career. You know, some musicians have had a pretty extensive performing career. They may have been in a cover band. You know, very common situation is a musician who's been in a cover band, maybe been with a couple of different bands, and now they've developed some songs that are unique and created original music that they want to get out into the marketplace, and they want to release that to their existing fan base, and they want to develop a new fan base. So that's an example of a business goal. That's a broad business goal. What I suggest is you really need to narrow that down to some very, like, maybe your top three concrete goals for the next 6 months. And I don't recommend doing a five-year plan because, you know, goodness knows the business world changes and the music world changes. You can't really plan for 5 years from now anymore. for any business, but you can plan for 6 months and you can plan for a year. So some concrete goals are incredibly important. They're the first thing you really need to have, because if you don't understand your goals, you're not going to be able to understand where you should focus your efforts. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I see is musicians just spending way too much time on too many different things and they're not focused. You know, there's so many things you can do. There's so many articles about out there about how you can do this social media tactic and that social media tactic. But if you have your goals written down, so here's an example of some like three concrete business goals. So let's say I've just finished an album of songs, or let's say I've just finished a single. So within 6 months, one of the my concrete business goal is I want to get 3 reviews of that single or that album in, you know, some reasonable online blogs, music reviewers. That's a concrete business goal that you could, I think it's achievable within 6 months if you apply yourself. Another example of a business goal might be, I'd like to book, you know, I want to get to the point where I'm playing every weekend, once a weekend at least, you know, out and around in my local area. Or a business goal could be, I want to have a West Coast mini tour scheduled for, you know, the spring of this year or the summer or the fall. So you want to pick some really concrete business goals. And it seems like those might not be related to social media, but they're very related, because that's what you're going to focus your promotional efforts through social media on. Social media is really not a strategy. Social media is a tactic. It's a set of tools that you use to achieve your business goals. It's not a goal in and of itself to say, I want to be on Instagram and have 300 followers. That's not a business goal I would recommend. Why do you want to have followers? You know, what are your actual business goals? So that's really important. And a lot of times musicians say, well, I don't know what my business goals are. You know, I just want to get my music out there. Well, let's just pick some business goals. You can change your business goals. You can decide that that goal that you originally wrote down is not really your goal. And that's fine. You can change your goals, but have some goals to shoot at, because if you don't, you'll end up trying to do everything and you'll get overwhelmed. And the second thing I think is really important is you need to have an understanding of who your market is. So what that means is, that's, you know, kind of marketing talk, but we'd say target market, you know, but in plain English, it just means, who are the people who are most likely to buy your music? Who does your music resonate with? And most musicians think they don't know that, and they think that's, you know, kind of complicated, and it doesn't have to be very complicated. Pick a person who you know, think it's like, think of a person. Think of a person who comes to every single one of your shows, or think of a person who is your most active fan on Facebook, or, you know, who is the person who walks up after the show and says, I really love your music. I want to give you, you know, I want to tip you, or I want to pay $20 for your CD. You know, that's the person who you want to base your target market profile on. So come up with that information by observing who your music resonates with. And this is hard for some musicians because they don't have a big fan base. So one other way to think about that is, you know, who are your musical idols, or who is your competition? Who are the bands that you want to be like? And who are their, who does their fan base look like? Mm-hmm. So pick a profile, and develop that profile. Write it down. You know, sometimes I say you should come up with like a fake picture of this fan and a fake name and a description, a real description, but it's sort of like an amalgam of all these people that you know who love your music. And you really have to come up with those two basic things. You know, what are your business goals, and who is your target market? Because if you do that, then the rest of your social media strategy and tactics are going to come much more easily. if you don't do that, you're going to be kind of throwing spaghetti at the wall, and it's not going to be very focused and targeted. So, you know, those two things can be very daunting for musicians, but really what I've always espoused for, you know, any business is it's common sense. You don't have to read a bunch of books or, you know, it's great. There's a lot of great books out there, a lot of great marketing information on the web. But if you sit down and you just answer those questions with a pencil and paper or on a computer and actually make the effort to write them down, you will have a much more focused, much better experience on social media before you even start any social media accounts. Do those exercises and really, you know, sit down and actually write those things down. Don't just say, oh, well, you know, I know what that is, but I want to be able to sit across the table from you as a musician or sit across the Skype screen from you and hear you articulate those things. Mm-hmm. And you also, you know, I guess the third thing really is to be able to articulate what your music is about. So that's also a very hard thing often for many musicians. But, you know, what's my tagline? What's my, what we call the elevator pitch in business marketing? If you are going to get into an elevator with somebody who knows nothing about your music, what would you say? You know, when people say, what do? What's your music like? You need to be able to articulate that. You need to have a few sentences. You know, it shouldn't take you 20 minutes. And the worst, you know, the worst thing that musicians do is like, I find they say, well, my music doesn't sound like anybody else. It's really unique. Well, that doesn't give anybody any information to say I'm unique. Yes, your music is unique, but you need to be able to describe the general, you know, to use a US analogy, you need the ballpark description of what your music is, you know, like, is it electronica? You need to know what genre you're in. For goodness sake, if you're going to do marketing, you need to know, number one, what genre you're in. Like, is it rock? Is it pop? You know, is it EDM? And you'd be shocked how many musicians don't list that in their description. So have a, you know, if you can't do it because you're too close to your music, ask someone else to write that down. In fact, that's a great idea. You know, ask one of your super fans who come to your show to describe your music, because you might find out that people describe it completely differently than what you would describe it as. Mm-hmm. And it's important to know how other people are perceiving your music. You know, if they call it jazz fusion and you're calling it folk rock, then, you know, I would step back and think about that. Maybe. You know, maybe it's a little bit more jazzy than you thought. And being able to describe it is going to be the sort of foundation of work that you do, both from the marketing messages you create, the content you create on social media, but even which social media channels you should be pursuing. Because, you know, jazz social media to market jazz may be very different than social media to market classical music. You may be using an entirely different social media channel. So why waste your time on Instagram if classical music listeners are not on Instagram? On the other hand, EDM folks all over Twitter, right? So Twitter should be where you focus. So if you don't know what genre you're in, you can't describe your music, you're going to end up creating a bunch of social media stuff and spending a lot of energy in places that your fans are not. And that's going to end up being frustrating. So yeah. do those three steps ahead of time. And, you know, only after you have those pretty well down and you kind of check them out with some other folks in your network that you respect, maybe some other fellow musicians, maybe some, you know, pay to have somebody review that information who's a marketing consultant, you know, ask for advice. Many of the people that you interview, I know, are more than happy to do kind of initial sanity checks with a musician on their marketing. And do that. Don't be afraid to do that in the very early stages, because later, once you've kind of solidified your efforts, if you're working off of kind of a bad base of ideas, you're not going to be successful. So getting that stuff right up front is harder than people think. It takes a little bit of work, but it's not really rocket science. It's just sitting down and thinking through those things and then being confident and comfortable that now you have a basis from which to do your actual planning.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Solveig, you're giving us so much food for thoughts. And I really like the fact that you stressed the importance of understanding that social media is not a strategy, is a tool, is not a goal, but is a tool, and that you should have specific goals in mind so that you know how to, or at least you have an idea of how you want to get to those specific goals, how to achieve them, what tools you can use. And I think that if some of you guys who are listening to Solveig and I are a bit wondering what your goals are, a great thing you can do is even identify a big goal, which could be you want to organize a West Coast tour, for example, and then starting from there, break it down into a series of smaller goals. So what do you need to be booked in for, to be booked at venues, for example, on the West Coast? What do you need in for bringing people through the door? All these kind of smaller goals. So it's kind of like building a house in a way. You want to obviously try to picture the whole house, but then try to break it down into smaller parts and work on each part little by little. And also you talked about the super fans, the importance of kind of understanding who you are, what your music is about, so that you also understand where you should be, where your fans, your potential fans are. In this case, we talk about social media, so which platforms are the most suitable for you. And in your post, I know that you, and it's also something that you blog about often, you talk about content marketing. And I wanted to ask if you have a couple of content marketing tips for musicians, because I'm sure that some of the listeners who are listening to us, to you and I, are really, you know, thinking about their social media. Maybe they start to think about those a bit differently if they already have accounts and have been really listening mm-hmm. to what you have been telling us. So do you have some mm-hmm. content marketing tips?
Absolutely. So content marketing, you know, it's this sort of this term that social media people throw around. And all that it really means is creating information that is going to be useful to your fans, that they're going to find entertaining, informative, and or useful. So content can be anything. Preferably, it's visual, because visual content is more shareable. It's more easily digested. You know, we're very visual animals. We can absorb information, visual information, multiple times more quickly than we can absorb text. So things like what we call memes, you know, pictures mm-hmm. with yeah. titles across them, those are great pieces of content. I know an artist who shares an inspirational picture with a quote every morning on her Facebook page. So that's a concrete example of some visual content that a musician that I know shares has maybe something to do with her music, but not directly. It's useful to her audience.
Sorry to interrupt you. Do you mind telling us the name of that musician so that I can link to the Facebook page in the show notes, because it can be a great example for the listeners to follow?
Exactly. No problem. So she's a friend of mine. Her name is Jody Quine, Quine. And Jody's a great content marketer. Not only does she create those pictures with quotes and shares them, she also for a while did a monthly YouTube show, really. It was actually on, it was a live show she did, you know, half hour show where she was playing her own music and getting fans to watch her. She actually used Stage It, which is also another example of content creation. I mean, people don't think about it, but YouTube video, very shareable, very compelling, you know, creating a podcast, audio information, that's content. So creating some content information that's going to be useful to your fan base, useful or entertaining. So things like playing songs in a short, you know, monthly concert, songs that people haven't heard, you know, new material, that's going to be compelling to your fan base because it's new. It's interesting because they like your music. People love those kinds of behind the scenes sorts of things. Doesn't have to be a video. It could be just pictures. That's content. So having a theme for your content creation, and as I said in the beginning, enjoying what you're doing is really important, because if you don't enjoy making that content, you're not going to be consistent about it. You're not going to do it. And Jodi is a great example. She's actually was also in a past life. She was in an improv comedy troupe. So she has a great kind of, you know, sort of on-camera banter. She makes funny jokes. She's kind of silly. And that's entertaining. So she, her videos, you know, her videos are very entertaining. You can, if you're not that kind of a person, you know, don't try to do that kind of content. Don't try to create that kind of content. So, you know, look at what your own innate sort of interests and strengths are. Maybe you really like taking pictures of, you know, I don't know, flowers or guitars, new guitars. Maybe one of the things that you're really just passionate about besides your music is old, you know, vintage guitars. So maybe everywhere, you know, every Saturday or Sunday you go to flea markets and you travel to, you know, music shops, like, you know, where all the, there's all these dusty instruments and you take pictures of old instruments and post them. You're not even, you know, buying them necessarily, but you're posting them on your Instagram feed. Now that's something you enjoy doing. It's something you're passionate about. And it's something that's going to be probably of interest to your fan base because, you know, your fan base likes music. They like musical instruments. They're enjoying the journey of you discovering these, you know, vintage instruments. So these are just a couple of ideas. You know, musicians do podcasts or video blogs about maybe even musical techniques, like, you know, how do I tune my guitar to create different sounds? If you create a regular podcast or video cast about a subject that's related to your music, you can also draw in those fans to watch you on a regular basis. So that's content creation. It's content creation with passion and interest. Be consistent with it. Preferably be visual. So preferably has a photo or a video component to it because mm-hmm. people like that. And it's something that you enjoy doing. And, you know, thinking in those sort of broad terms about how you can have, you know, a content strategy that makes sense for you as a musician. The other thing I tell my musician clients is, you know, be very focused. Don't bite off more than you can chew. You know, don't try to do everything at once. Pick one thing, pick one social media channel, and pick one content creation strategy that you can be consistent with for several months. You're not going to get results overnight. You're not going to develop an audience overnight. It's going to take, you know, could take 3 months, could take 6 months. You know, it takes, I'm sure you can attest to this. You started a podcast, you've got a great following, but nothing happens, you know, in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, be consistent about it. And if you're enjoying doing it, that's not going to be hard because you're liking doing it. you know, you're enjoying doing it for yourself. You're getting a kick out of it. And you're going to keep doing it for enough time to see if that is something that resonates with your audience. And so, you know, content creation really, you know, I think about it, it's got to have, it needs to have a purpose. It can't just be like, you know, I'm doing this for no reason. It has no connection back to my music. But it needs to be something fun. It needs to be entertaining for you. And if it's entertaining for you, just like performing music, it's just like performing, you know, nobody wants to watch a musician who's up on the stage who looks like they don't want to be there. They want to watch a musician who's having a good time, who's feeling what they're doing. Same thing is true about content creation. Content creation is essentially entertainment through social media. You're entertaining. You are an entertainer. You know, you, Jan, are an entertainer. You are interviewing people. You have a show. I mean, you podcast it. We refer to podcasts as shows, right? So you are an entertainer. You have to bring it. You know, you got to be enthusiastic. You got to be interested in your subject. And that passion comes through. And that's one of the reasons that I love what Jody does is, you know, she picks quotes that resonate with her. She feels passionately about them. They are something that means something to her. And that's why they resonate with her audience, because that genuine emotional connection is there. And that's the other part that I think we don't talk about enough in content creation is so much content creation is just, you know, we think about it as like this thing that businesses do. They write boring blogs or they, you know, they take pictures of their, you know, product, and nobody is interested in that kind of content. What people want is something that is exciting to them. You know, the most successful content creators in the branding world, in the corporate world, are the content creators that have captured content that is thrilling and entertaining. You know, some of the brands that kind of come to mind, like Red Bull has been incredibly successful with, and GoPro. My goodness, GoPro is, you know, kind of the poster child for creating these, you know, basically customer sourced videos that are incredibly exciting, and they don't really talk about their product, but of course the content can't be there without their product, their camera. So if you want to see good content creation, go to GoPro's like YouTube channel and check out some of the things they do, you know, and a lot of it is customer sourced. So wherever you can use content that other people have created. So for a musician, that's an example of that is share content, like share pictures that your fans take of you performing. That's content. And it's content you didn't have to create. It's content that your fans created. Share quotes. They don't even have to be, you know, elaborate quotes. They should be good quotes, obviously. But, you know, ask someone, can I share that? You know, if somebody walks up to you after a show and says, your music was so moving to me, you know, I want to share your song, use your song for my wedding. That's content. You can use that quote with permission, of course. And that is, you know, content you didn't even create, something that other people have said about your music, you know, written about your music, shared on their social media channels. That's content. That's like a gold mine. So if you have that, if you have excited fans, try to figure out a way to share that as content on your own social media platforms. So you don't even have to create it yourself.
Yeah, no, you have touched on so many great points, and something I really want to stress is the be authentic part of what you've told us. I know that you have read the Kim Garst book where she talk about, guys, if you don't know, Kim Garst is a social media marketing and online marketing expert. And in her book called Will the Real You Please Stand Up, she really talks about the importance of authenticity. And I know that you, Solveig, have enjoyed the book. You have written a post about it. And guys, as I said earlier, You will find the link to everything Solveig and I have talked about in the show notes. And I will also include the link to the interview I did with Kim Garst, the author of the book, because I've actually interviewed her for my entrepreneurship and online marketing podcast. And even though it can be a bit more kind of business-like, there are still so many great takeaways for you guys as musicians that I think you can benefit from that episode. And really, I want to stress that because I love the fact that you brought up the example of Jody and you talked about the importance of really being your true self. And if you are, you know, not that into taking pictures, for example, you shouldn't start using Instagram just because other people use Instagram. And you also talked about the importance of collaboration. So when you talk about sharing other people's content, can be quotes, can be images, can be videos, that's definitely gonna help you in the long run. You should be all about collaboration. And Solveig, really, you have given us so much food for thoughts. And I said the post is gonna be there in the show notes. And I have one final question to wrap up this episode. And it's something you also discussed in the post, that is like how to integrate social media with offline activities. Because I know that sometimes there is this, people have two personas. There is the offline person, the online person, and there sometimes there are kind of two different people, and it shouldn't be that way, especially when we talk about social media marketing for musicians.
Exactly. So, and again, you know, none of this is really rocket science. You know, when I say these things, a lot of times people are just like, oh, well, that's really common sense. But surprisingly, a lot of people don't do it.
Yeah.
you know, if you want people to follow you on Twitter, then when you have a show, say, here's my Twitter, you know, this, announce your Twitter handle and ask them to follow you on Twitter. It's that simple. Or like my Facebook page. It's really just about mentioning your social media handles or names or properties, whatever you want to call them, you know, on all of your marketing, printed marketing materials. Mention them during your shows. Make sure your social media follow buttons are not at the bottom of your webpage. I mean, that's a real basic thing, but a lot of people don't design their web pages so that their social media follow buttons are prominently displayed. And one of the things that I mentioned in my blog post is that they've done some studies of how people look at online pages, and they look at a page, you know, they look at the computer screen in F pattern. So people are looking across the top, down the left-hand side, and then just kind of at the what we call the fold, which is the bottom of one screen. They're mm-hmm. looking at that. So if your social media buttons, if you have to scroll down on your website to get to your social media buttons, people are not going to see those. Most people are not going to look for them. So put them somewhere across the top. A lot of people put them top right. You can put them across the left-hand bar going down. But that's just kind of a basic thing that so many musicians don't do. You know, a lot of the great website design sites out there, like I mentioned the article, a lot of musicians are starting to use things like Wix, WordPress. You know, there's always HostBaby and Bandzoogle for creating your website. If you don't have a website for your music, you need to make one, because relying on Facebook, relying on Reverb Nation as your home site is really not that smart of an online strategy. You need to have your branding and your own property, your website, you know, find a domain name that people are going to find easy to find. And that also goes for your social media. You know, use a social media handle, like for Twitter, for Instagram, that is preferably as close to your band name as possible, or as close to your individual personal name as possible, because that's going to be easy for people to remember. And try to make them consistent across all of your social media properties. So, like, for example, my Twitter handle, Shades of Solveig, is also my website URL. You can get to it that way. You can also get to it with my name, solveigwhittle.com. So that's an example of integrating some online activities with, you know, together. But also, you know, my business card has all of my social media information on it. Well, it has, I primarily direct people to Twitter because that's where I'm most active. I don't recommend putting, you know, follow me on six social media platforms because that won't fit on your business card. So, you know, pick one or two, Facebook and Twitter or Facebook and Instagram or Facebook and YouTube, you know, pick a few. Make sure they're on your marketing handouts. You know, if you have a lot of musicians do kind of like a one sheet for the press, which has a, you know, like a short bio and it has maybe some quotes from press, make sure that your social media handles and information are on your one sheet. Make sure that's prominently in your press releases. Make sure it is, you know, in any press material that you send out. Make sure that's on, okay, here's a really good one. Make sure it's printed on your CD cover. You know, if you really want to promote the fact that you are on Facebook, put your Facebook URL or say, find us on Facebook, like us on Facebook on your album cover. If you're creating physical CDs, anything that's going to get in front of, you know, an audience member in one way or another, if you do an interview with the press, make sure that you mention your website URL and maybe one other social media channel where people can find you. Make sure that you talk to the interviewer ahead of time and send them that information so that they can mention that during the interview. And that's how you're going to integrate stuff and get that information out there. You're going to basically publicize it, what we call cross-marketing. You're going to cross-market your Facebook page. You're going to cross-market your website through every other mechanism that you use to talk to people.
I love it. And actually, I want to comment on the last point you're also raising, because it's a great point, the importance of really taking advantage of opportunities like interviews, can be podcast interviews, can be video interviews, whatever kind of interview, to promote yourself. And we talked about that with Mike Rubini. I will put the link also in the show notes. And we talk about how you can take that opportunity even further and create a quick landing page where you direct people right to, so that they sign up, you can prepare a special download for them, so that not only you get new, for example, to the followers, but you also get some email list subscribers. But I love the fact that you really talk about the importance of really keep the same branding, try to keep all kind of domain name, Twitter handles, Facebook contact names as soon as possible. And guys, for even more music business social media tips, make sure to go to shadesofsolvay.com. You subscribe to this newsletter so that you don't miss any update. And if you're on Twitter, definitely follow Solvay. She's at Shades of Solvay. Solvay, thank you so much for being here with us and for telling us more about kind of how to use social media, I would say the smart way.
Thank you, Jan. You know, it's been a pleasure to talk with you. I love your podcast. I think it's really a great source of information. I listen to it and, you know, there's a lot of podcasts out there, but I just want to give you props for being great on social media and doing a great content marketing strategy yourself. It's really good information. It's really useful. It's really entertaining. And, you know, if you want to know how to do a podcast, just study Jan's podcast.
All righty, everybody, we are back. Solvay, thank you so very much for being here with us, telling us more about the great things you do and for your valuable tips. And guys, to wrap up this episode, I want to tell you more about what's coming next. Next episode, we're going to talk about album release for independent musicians. So if you're an indie artist, you have been working on an album, that's an episode you don't want to miss out. Also, because there's going to be a special surprise. So make sure to tune in. You will find it at thejazzpotlight.com/episode77. In case you don't want to miss any episode or you want to get access to all the previous episodes of the podcast, well over 70 now, you can go to thejazzpotlight.com/show for the iTunes page of the podcast You can hit the subscribe button so that you get all the 76 episodes of the Jazz Spotlight on your iPhone or iPad. If you use Android, you can find the podcast on Stitcher or SoundCloud. I'm Yanni Lunga, and yep, you've listened to the Jazz Spotlight. Thank you for listening and have a great day.